Welcome to the It's Always Saturday podcast, because when you're with the boys, it's always Saturday.
Big pimpin'. Today's theme, the word of the week, is boundaries. Very exciting, very fulfilling.
Yes.
Today we got myself, Spencer, Ian, the main man, Bobby's busting it down, and our beautiful Ooh. Guest, Butler. Ooh la la, frankly.
Hello, everyone.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Shut up, Butler.
Just all right.
Just Bobby, go back to playing the Transformer. Okay.
It's a sick Transformer. Not gonna.
It is a very cool Transformer. So today for the boys, to start it off, we're gonna talk about some personal boundaries, you know. And the first one that we're going to start with is physical. So the thing that I posted on the Instagram, I didn't read it before I posted it. It just said boundaries. And then
how often does that happen to you? How much stuff on the general Instagrams have you just not read? Give me like
this
a percentage.
This is like 10%.
That's not bad. That's not
okay.
bad.
Yeah.
I think that's honest and that's fair.
That's yeah. acceptable.
So first one to start it off is physical, and it's the list, the bullet points it has there is who can touch you, how can they touch you, where can they touch you, and when can they touch you. What are the boys' physical boundaries? I think we'll start it off, Butler.
Okay.
Yeah, be put on the spot, bitch.
Well, he went like top left, but for me, he's in like bottom left, so he's pointing to no one. So I was.
I know. for reference, Ian, it was the same for the stream. You're like, and yeah, perfect, Ian. He's done it.
There
you go. Okay.
Bobby, other way.
Yeah. If you're a guy, go for full send it.
If you're a man, full contact, full time.
Yes, like, I have pretty loose, physical boundary, I feel. Like, I don't mind, if you want to hug, you want to slap my ass, I don't mind. I'm fine with it.
That's pretty hot.
Like, my ass has been slapped enough by you two that, like, I'm just okay with it.
I'm glad we've desensitized you to any human contact.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Well, that's a beautiful note.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, but women? Ew.
Yucky.
Don't touch me.
Butler, what do you define as a woman?
What do I define as a woman?
Be careful, you might get canceled. Be careful. You might get canceled.
2X chromosomes.
Butler's been canceled, everybody.
Sex.
He's been canceled.
For female sex. For gender, if you feel like it.
He's been uncanceled, everybody. He did it. He did it.
He's saved
That's
himself.
My man. Beautiful. Ian, what are your physical, emotional, other, no, not physical, just the touchy touchies? How do you feel about the touchy touchies?
The physical. It depends who they are. There's a particular girl at work that if she touches me, I will become physically violent, and I think Spencer knows who I'm talking about. I'd say I'm also pretty loose. I think even in a context where I wouldn't expect someone to touch me, even if like they did, I might just like look at them. I don't know. It's like, it's a very like, and like with dudes especially, like Butler said, my ass has been slapped a million times by the boys, and honestly, I cannot blame them, because there are some thunderous cheeks
that
back
is very
there.
True.
But
the image of the first time you ever got drunk that was in my basement, and it's just me slapping your ass full tilt because I was also very drunk. Oh, that's such a glorious image. Like, when I edit this, I'm gonna put the picture in. But like, you can see my face in the corner, just sheer like fucking determination.
And like your hand is like blurred because of the speed.
I was committed to it. Oh, let's look at Bobby's Lego. Wow.
Nice.
I made him do a provocative pose, like he's showing his ass, but he's like, ooh, like you know what I mean?
Oh, now Anno's getting sassy in chat because he doesn't have attention. Also, thank you, Giuseppe, for pointing out that ass slaps are meant for the boys. Just a fact. All there is to it.
That's right.
But yeah, Anno's talking about how he has a boyfriend, but how he's straight and how he's quirky. So you've been acknowledged, Anno.
Can we just not address him like
he just gets sassy. Bobby's just fully done with him. He's too good for the algorithm to ignore him.
One point that I will acknowledge is that other people touching other people touching in public ain't about it. PDA, get out of here. You can hold hands, you can give each other a little peck, but other than that, just keep it in your pants, okay?
As someone who's been around Butler and his wonderful girlfriend, Jane, well, Ian would describe her as wonderful, but I think she's all right. it's horrifying. I went to Banff with these people, and like, heh, yuck, all over each other, it's all the time. Horrible.
Disgusting.
Ian, what about PDA with the boys in public?
Oh, obviously that's allowed. Come on now.
That's not a question.
Why are you even asking that question, Butler? When we go for our Sunday walks, are we not just macking the whole time?
For the viewers who don't know, who may be doubting, who don't know about our Sunday walks, they need to know about these things.
This isn't for boundaries for the viewers. This is Ian's boundaries. Why does he have to? These boundaries are not meant. Shut up, Butler.
Okay. Shut up. There's back to your so Lego much emotion. And learning how to write letters.
Man, okay, I think that. But so far, Butler has been the most conscious person on this podcast about providing context to the audience, and I really appreciate that.
Me and Butler go for Sunday walks, you know. That's all the context that is needed. I think we can move on to Spencer.
Walk on Sunday?
What are your boundaries, your physical boundaries?
I'm gonna be real. I don't like people being very near me.
Interesting. I've
in the majority of my life I do have a half brother. I've been living on my own largely. Like, people being too near me, I don't enjoy it. Like, if it's, like, a significant other, like, sure, like, get up in my biz. I don't really care too much so long as it's, like, okay for the situation we're in. But...
Man said get up in my biz.
I did. Because the biz is for the boys. And if other people be getting in there, that ain't allowed. Yeah. Like, real answer, not a fan of it. Human contact, yucky. I like
disgusting.
I like a 2-foot buffer at all times, ideally.
Okay. So Spencer has been social distancing since before it was cool. He is officially a hipster.
I wear cardigans. It's pretty cool.
As if he wasn't that before. What are you even talking? He's officially
just
a hipster.
Look at him.
Have you seen my haircut, glasses, facial hair, general aesthetic, how I speak? Like, you're a little late to the party, dog. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby. I think Bobby's above me.
He is.
I don't know. Like, okay, well, no. There's
Bobby's
one
never been touched before.
just unnecessary rudeness. That's my favorite. When it's just frankly just a slight. Like, not even a joke. Just a slight against this man.
Okay, well...
I'm just playing, Bobby.
Ian, what are the rules? No bully, Bobby.
I put the Lego down, and so that you just violated one of the... No, I'm just joking. But
if the Lego's down, you've gone too far.
But one of my hard boundaries is these. You do not touch them. They are off limits at all times.
Anno, do
you
hear that?
If you ever even come near them and I don't give you permission, I'll bite your head off because for some reason I have the most sensitive honkers in the, on the face of the earth. like physical contact on my chesticles, I can't be about it because it causes great physical pain at the slightest of touches, and it makes me mad. Damn. And angry. I could bench a house off of the anger that I feel when somebody's like, "Hee-hee, booby." I'm like,
endless, increasing rage.
But like, you know, my ass. It's there.
I like the one universal constant for the boys. You can get my ass.
I don't know.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know. Obviously, don't be laughing at this because it's serious. But like, I don't get a lot of hugs. But like, I like hugs. So I don't know. I think hugs are good. I'm cool with those.
Next time the boys see Bobby post COVID. Just full on fucking front on tackle everyone at once.
But most of the boundaries of like the boys, like other than like y'all can go all out other than Honkersville, because then it's dead for you.
Bobby's got murder buttons. God damn.
You touch them and it's just like steam coming out of my ears. I'm just like,
woo.
I just start sizzling.
Excellent. Well, does anybody else have anything they want to say on that segment? Take that as a no. That was a resounding silence.
Sorry, I'm gay.
Did you just say sorry, I'm gay?
I said segmente.
Oh. So, what I was thinking for the next segment was talking about, like, the boundaries of when things are, like, ethical or unethical, because I thought that was interesting. Butler and I both take psychology courses at the university that we go to, and there was this experiment. I forget what it's called, but it was in 1974. And basically, the premise of this experiment was that there was one person that would be assigned the role of a teacher and one person that was assigned the role of a student. But it was rigged so that way participants were always the teacher. Participants were always the teacher, but the student was actually an actor, like somebody that was in on the experiment. So how it worked was the person that was the teacher would ask basic questions to the student. And if the student were to get it wrong, the teacher was to distribute like mild electric shocks, but the whole point of the experiment was actually to test how far the person would go increasing the shocks to the point where it's actually physically dangerous for the person that is on the other side of the screen that they couldn't see through. So
like they were potentially lethal shocks.
Yeah, like it was like the max end of this shocking wasn't just like a "ooh, that really stung my fingers." It was like enough to like stop your heart. And basically,
and for reference, they were fake shocks. They weren't actually shocked. They were acting like they got shocked.
Yeah. Like it was the same guy. It was actually I had learned more about this experiment recently. They even had the person, like, it wasn't just a stranger. They like found like a really friendly seeming person to be the actor, to be like, "Hey, oh, it's really good to meet you, buddy. Okay, I'm going to go on the other side of that screen. I'll see you around." And then the experimenters will be like, "You now need to electrocute him. Increase the voltage." And they just, like, saw how far people would go increasing the voltage. And the majority of people, I believe the majority of people, went so far as that they were willing to give a potentially lethal shock to somebody because they were told to.
I think it was, like, over 80%.
Yeah, it was, like, a large margin. The actual point of the experiment was to basically prove the were people that were Nazis in the Second World War that did egregious things, that were told to do egregious things, is it fair to judge them for having done that, or is it innate in humans when you are told to do something, you do it?
Yeah, well, not just that, by not just being told to do it, but being told to do it by someone of authority.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. Like, it's, I think just experiments, sorry to cut you off, experiments in general, like, where do the boys feel like the boundaries are? Like, there are, like, actual definable legal rules, but, like, what do the boys feel like is okay for, like, pushing the limits in, like, experimenting with shit?
I just have a question about the previous experiment.
Yes, yes.
When, like, when the shocks were increased, were they told, like, okay, like, if once you pass, like, once you up it to this voltage, this is going to happen. Once you up it to this voltage, this is going to happen.
Well,
like,
what happened is that basically there was a screen where you couldn't see the person on the other side, but, like, it was either a microphone system or a screen system. Either way, they could always hear the other person. So, like, they could hear the other person, like, actually screaming from pain. It was an actor that wasn't receiving any, there was no real shocks happening. But it was, like, somebody actually screaming on the other side. And, like, at a certain point, there was, like some markation that it was potentially lethal. So, like, mm-hmm. they are aware that there was a potentially lethal shock that they could administer.
And, like, the actors were, like, they weren't just screaming. They were also, like, begging to, like, stop it or something, I believe, as well.
Yeah. It's, like, effectively, okay. They were trying to, because the actual experiment, what they told them it was about learning capabilities. The actual experiment was, if somebody is begging for mercy and an authority figure is telling you not to give it to them, like what happened with potentially a lot of Nazis, is that a circumstance that is reasonable to judge the person that is being forced into that circumstance?
Trauma.
It's, yeah, that's kind of what the takeaway was, is that that was just fucking traumatic for everyone involved.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating. But yeah, Butler, as a psychologist, man, do you... Oh, sorry. You go ahead.
What were the people's reaction when they were told that, like, it was all an experiment and, like, you... If this had been real, like, you would have killed this man.
I don't know if they were told. Like, that was part of why the ethics on that was really questionable. Putting people in those circumstances at all isn't super okay. By that, I mean it's very illegal now. But during that time, there is now regulation on what is, like, formally called debriefing, where it's now a legal obligation mm-hmm. when somebody is in an experiment, following the experiment, to explain what the actual purpose of the experiment was. That experiment broke so many ethical guidelines, I can't say for sure if they even did debrief them or they just left them thinking they may have actually killed somebody. Mm-hmm. So that was part of what was fucked up, is that there were laws in place starting in, like, 1947 for, like, psychological regulations. But I don't know at that point in time if there was explicit laws on debriefing.
Yeah.
Okay. And, 'cause, like, besides the not debriefing them part, like, besides the not debriefing them part, I don't really see that experiment as unethical, like, at all. It's like a test of how, like, kind of, yeah, no, I don't really see that, especially because, like, the person's not actually being shocked, and, like, it's a test of character, I guess. And I think it provided good data, honestly, that shows that, like, majority of people are
fucking sheep. Built different.
No, majority of people, like, just listen to authority, and so, like, it's very difficult to judge, especially if you've never been in a situation like that, someone from like the example of, like, Nazi Germany, like, people being told to do horrendous things to other people, like, how, and I think actually it's like you don't just, like, get to the point, like, if you take, like, the Nazis, for example, you don't just get to the point where you're, like, taking naked pregnant women and shooting them in the back of the head in a field. You like it kind of like you work there kind of like slowly. It's kind of like it's a boundary thing as well, because it's like somebody pushes you like a little bit past your boundaries and then you don't tell them to fuck off. You just do what they ask you to do. And then you get comfortable in the new spot that they gave you, and then they push you a little bit more and more and more and more until you're just a bad person.
That makes, I think that actually aligns with the experiment parameters, because it wasn't like, okay, this guy messed up his ABCs, fucking kill him. It was, okay, shock him. Now shock him a little more and a little more. Like the gradient, because like I think the notion of a gray area means that as you're wading through it, it's very hard to tell when gray becomes black. So I think that that's an interesting idea. Bobby, do you have any specific, you don't have to, but do you have any specific points on like the, do you think that, let's just go with that. Do you think that that was within the boundaries of ethicalness?
No, because I think that like, the trauma that like the actor obviously didn't suffer any trauma, but I'm thinking the person who did that, they probably suffered like a lot of mental trauma realizing, because like I'm hopefully once they like they if they didn't debrief them, it was probably like years later until they found out that it was an experiment. But like I don't know, like when they eventually did find out, it was probably that realization of, oh God, like, why did I do that? And, like, that sticks with you. So, like, I think that that was very unethical, because, like, that gives a lot of trauma to the person, like, giving the shocks once they realize, oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah, that was the argument by, well, like, the many associations now that talk about these things, is their main reasons why it was unethical is because, like, it wasn't like, you know, little Timmy was just having a fun time pressing buttons. It was like these people were like physically extremely emotionally distressed while going through this. So because they were not aware of what they were signing up for, and they were not aware that that was the distress that they were going to be experiencing, that is why they argue that it was unethical. But Butler, do you have any comments?
Oh, I just Googled it. So it was the Milgram experiment.
Yes, thank you.
60, so about two-thirds went to the highest level of volts of 450 volts, and everyone continued to at least 300 volts. And apparently, he did more than one of these.
Oh, there's more than one Milgram experiment?
Yeah, he carried out 18 variations of this study.
Big yikes.
Holy shit. Yep. Who was the guy who did it?
Milgram.
I love how you guys just both said Milgram in unison.
Milgram.
But no, like that's messed up. He should have gotten like some legal repercussions for that. That is not okay.
The '70s were the wild, wild west, my guy. You know, it's when it comes to science and ethics.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
It says that he did debrief the participants fully after the experiment.
Okay. So that that does clear one major ethical blunder up at least.
Okay.
So Ian's like, yeah, this guy's pretty sick. I dig it.
Cool dude.
Oh, then
cool dude.
Well yeah, if he debriefed them, I see no problems with that experiment.
That's honestly what it's a fair takeaway.
Butler. One slight ethical issue is normally with an experiment, you have the right to withdraw at all times. With this, they were given the right to withdraw, obviously, because not everyone continued up to 450, but they tried to convince them not to withdraw, because it says that he would tell the person shocking them, like, please continue, the experiment requires that you continue, it is absolutely essential that you continue, and you have no other choice, you must go on. So that's where like it gets kind of into the gray zone, where they still could withdraw, but they were like, I kind of want to withdraw, but like, but you should not.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole almost the whole concept of it is like this might make me sound like a bit of a wussy, but at the same time, like I feel like the whole concept.
Man, it doesn't make you sound like a wussy to be like, I think it's fucked up that somebody thinks they were forced to kill somebody. Like that's well, an okay yeah, no, takeaway, because, my guy.
Because like some people, I don't know, like I think the whole concept is kind of messed up because like, you know, some people are obviously a bit sick in the head and they'll be like, hee, I killed somebody. That was fun. But then like other people, like, you know, that could have like really deeply affected them, like knowing that, oh God, in that situation, I would have done that. I'm a bad person. So like that, like I think the whole experiment, in my opinion, is pretty messed up.
Yeah, like I get what you mean, saying like the weight of having done that carries on past it, where even though it almost, I wouldn't say it makes it worse, but it's definitely not great that you are now, because there's always the argument of, well, these people did some fucked up stuff, but you don't know if you can judge them or not because you weren't in that position. And it basically puts people in the position where they can know how far they can be pushed, and then they have to deal with the weight of that, which they otherwise probably wouldn't have. So I think, I don't know, my guess is that Ian would argue that that's a good thing in a way, because then you can work on that.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, is that Bobby said that it can deeply affect you. And I think that regardless, like walking out of that debriefing being like, you didn't actually kill this guy, but if this was real, you would have killed that guy just because I told you to. I think that that should deeply affect anybody. And but it could also deeply affect people in a positive way. And I think anyone looking at this experiment should be looking at it in a positive way, in terms of if you were part of the experiment, look at it in the way of like, oh my gosh, like I would have killed that guy. Maybe I need to be questioning authority more when I'm told this shock that you could administer could kill this person, or there's a person on the other side of the screen screaming, and just because somebody told you to, you're going to do it. I think that should, walking out of a debriefing like that should be a check for yourself, saying, oh my gosh, like that's insane. Like I need to watch myself, basically.
In summary, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. A beautiful insight. Exactly. A beautiful insight.
Trust no one. We out here on the streets. Screw 12. like all that stuff.
That is the main takeaway of that experiment. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. I have an ethical dilemma for you boys. I actually talked about it a little bit with Butler and Spencer earlier today. So Avatar The Last Airbender, at the very end of the series, Aang comes to the point where it's before he fights the Fire Lord, and he's like training to fight the Fire Lord, and he like pulls up to this dummy and is about to murk it and then stops, and everyone's like, why did you do that? And it's basically, he's like, I can't do it. Like, I can't kill someone. Like, I can't do it. Like, no matter how bad the person is, I can't kill them. All life is sacred. And honestly, that just made me so mad. Cause like the amount, and I understand what he's saying, that all life is sacred and life should be preserved if possible. But okay. Going, like, from Aang's perspective, going into that fight without being willing to kill the Fire Lord is fundamentally stupid, in my opinion, especially considering the weight of that fight. Like, I don't think there's any way around that it's fundamentally stupid.
Isn't that a flex, though? Mans is, like, 7 or whatever. I don't give a shit. I think he's 12. And, like, he rolls up, beats the shit out this old powerful dude, and is like, I'm not even going to kill you. I could, but I'm choosing that I don't want to. So fuck you.
But I'm pretty sure, like...
Okay.
Like, they never showed it, but I'm pretty sure Aang had to have killed some Fire Nation soldiers at the end of season 1, where he was that, like, huge water beast. and fucking like sunk like a bunch of Fire Nation battleships. Like there was
there's so many scenes. It's like those scenes where it's like Batman like doesn't kill anybody, but like shatters their fucking spine. Like you sunk many ships. Not everyone got out of that, dog.
There's this really funny video on YouTube. I think it's titled like Batman Doesn't Kill, and it's just like this it's just this video of like Batman Arkham gameplay, and Batman like shoves some guy's head into an electrical box, kicks another guy off a building, like things that kill people. He's just it just does him.
And like, really fucking hurt him.
I think like obviously it worked out in the end, and I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it with what happened. but like question. Especially that one point where he like redirects the Fire Lord's lightning and is about to shoot it back at him and then just stops and directs it like the other way. Come on.
I think what we've taken away from the
considering all that the Fire Lord has done to cause
Ian Dunn stuck in time. I was gonna say, like, I think what we can take away is that based on the previous segment and on this segment, Ian's just pro people dying in general. You're gonna pretend to kill an experiment? Fucking do it. If you're in combat with them, you really don't like them, murk them. They're done.
Spencer, I wanted to know, like, what are your thoughts?
I think the idea of the crosstalk doesn't quite work out because I think there's a delay in the Discord. Because Ian, you'll just like talk and then just silence.
He's gone.
Okay,
he's gone.
So I will talk. I don't think it's a bad play for him choosing not to kill Ozai. Because in a way,
man's name is Ozai.
Could be a more of a punishment than killing him. Death, easy way out compared to what he ultimately did to him. He strips away. Well, not spoilers.
It's yes. Okay. I'm just going to say that this whole segment's going to spoil a little the final Avatar episode.
So, like Ozai was, like, the strongest firebender in the world. Like, that... I'm pretty sure, like, the creators have said it, like, that is fact. And then, like, that was all taken away by Aang. He was the little Fire Lord, the leader of the most powerful nation on the world. That was taken away. And he has to then live alone, likely in a cell, just for the rest of his life. Compared to just, like, die.
I also, okay. my thought on it is that I think when it's a good chat about yourself, Bobby, very supportive.
Y'all have seen that already, bro?
My latency isn't that bad. I think when it's more than just like a scrap between a dude you think is a real dickhead and like screaming. An actual war that's happening, symbolic gestures matter. So the whole part of the evil arc of the Fire Lord was that he was just an asshole that would kill anybody and everybody indiscriminately. So
yeah, like he fucking permanently scarred his own like 8-year-old son.
So
in front of countless people.
I'm just playing.
But like my thought is Red that Bull. if you want to win a war, there's more to it than just killing everybody you don't like. It's about the moral standard that you set with winning the war. So if in the scoop of the war he shows mercy while still enacting punishment, Bobby, you good, dog?
No, okay, so it was weird because like in my mind Ian doesn't say based a lot because people in my other friend group say it a lot, so I don't know, you could say it a lot, but in my mind you don't. So for some reason, you saying it just like set me off.
Ian does not say I'm based like, ever.
That's what I'm thinking. So the fact that you said it, I'm just like, God, just dropping a based in full. That's
it is a good meme. But that is my stance on it. I think that
that's
adding
that scarring of the 8-year-old son as well.
Pretty based. Like,
okay,
if you really want to win, there's more to it than just killing the guy you don't want to be in charge.
I do agree.
Their families.
Exactly. I do, Spencer. I agree with your like. There's a moral standard that you set when you win a war. I agree with that. But considering that, considering all the death and trauma that Fire Lord Ozai caused before that, and the stuff that, like, it wasn't like, oh, he probably is going to go kill a whole bunch more people and cause a bunch more harm. Like, it was a certainty. Like, they knew his plan was to go just burn the entire Earth Kingdom to the ground. Going into that fight saying, I'm not going to kill this guy. And, like, it did work out in the end. He took away his bending, but he didn't know that he was going to be able to do that before. And, like, that, in my opinion, is one, like I said before, like, fundamentally stupid, and as well, not really grasping the situation that you're in as well, which I can also see because he is 12.
I was going to say, Ian's like, fucking 12-year-old. That's he should check himself.
I know. Sometimes I'm watching the show and I'm like, this is the characters will do something and I'm like, this is so fucking stupid. Are you kidding me? And then I'll be like, oh, I forgot they're like 12.
Yeah,
my
like
bad.
The oldest character is Zuko and he is 15. So like, yeah. Maybe it's like,
I was telling Ian, like, it checks out. Like, when they were trying to find an earthbending teacher for Aang, they first went to the earthbending school. Their second option is the secret underground wrestling arena. Like, that's a 12-year-old shit move.
Okay.
Bobby just started wrestling, and he's been activated.
Oh, man. Also, Ian, when you said, like, he wants to torch the whole world, Bobby's just like,
yes. I know, I saw that.
My first thought was like, yo, the Krispy Kingdom? Hell yeah.
Okay, I don't watch Avatar: The Last Airbender. In my mind, those characters are like 18.
Yeah, that's fair. No, yeah. They're like very much children. It is wild.
Yeah, I thought they were like teenagers transitioning into adults. Like
they are children transitioning into teenhood.
God.
Aang is actually 112.
Technically,
who?
So that's the main dude. Because he was Aang? Frozen in ice for 100 years. But then me and my brother discovered the last airbender.
One thing, before we move on, I just want all the boys to go, and we'll start with Spencer, because as my view, he's the first on the thing. We'll start with Spencer. What element do you think you would bend, and what element would you want to bend?
I think that you're right, that I'd probably be a waterbender. Because I'm a little bitch ass. I think I'd go to try to be the first male like healer waterbender, because I think that'd be fun. I could be like water bandages at people. That sounds fun. What I would want, I think earth bending is the coolest, and I think like metal bending specifically. Like, you haven't seen Legend of Korra yet, but like in that one, like all the cops are like metal benders that have like fucking Spider-Man hooks to get around. I think that shit
is... Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, they have, like twirls of, like, steel string or whatever. And they just, like, whew, and, like, get around. I think that's the sickest shit. So that's okay. What I want to be. But what I would be is I'd just be a mid-level waterbender.
Butler, would you like to go next?
I'd also probably be a waterbender. And with
team
that,
bitch ass,
also,
let's go.
Ian, you said I would also just likely be a bloodbender along with it.
Yeah,
what is a bloodbender?
You can pretty much control people.
Because Butler's a manipulative, like, little bitch boy.
That's because literally exactly what I was about to say.
Because Bobby, since blood is like a large portion of his water, You just bend that.
And then they go.
Yeah, it's fun for everyone involved.
All right.
With what I'd want to be, I'm not sure.
Pissbender. Yo, there was that one episode where Korra bended her own sweat. It's possible, guys. It's reduce, reuse, recycle, water bending.
How old is Korra in that show?
Underage.
Okay, then I'm not going to say what I wanted to say then.
Spencer, I love how you just knew.
Well, I meant Katara. If you go Legend of Korra Katara, she's like in her late 80s or just dusty as fuck. So let's go Legend of Korra Katara.
That's what I meant. So she's very much of age.
A very senior citizen. You can now say what you're gonna say.
Then that went into my mouth. Yes, sir.
We got to the horniness, guys. Bobby was horny in this one. We're keeping the train going.
I think that's just every episode that Bobby's ever been in. He's just ravenously horny the whole time.
We need a horny tally. Days gone without Bobby horniness. I'll get like a chart on the back, and I'll just always be zero.
What if there's an episode where I say nothing horny, like I'm just not horny at all? Will that?
I think it's impossible.
The whole time, you just have such. You're trying to get out of
here. I'm gonna do it next week.
Bold.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I will do it.
We'll see how it goes.
Since Bobby hasn't really seen it, Ian, what do you think you'd be?
So for Bobby, reference, for reference, the four main elements, it is water, air, earth, and fire. Not that you wouldn't already know that, but just know exactly what we're working with.
Okay.
So wait, say what you want to be. Ian, you say what he probably would be.
Okay, so since I've obviously never seen the show, I don't understand what you guys mean when you say bitch ass waterbender, because waterbending to me sounds really cool, and that's what I would want to do, because that sounds cool. You just throw water everywhere, just like be a water master.
The disadvantage of water is that you can only move existing water, where with like air is everywhere. The ground is everywhere, what? And fire you can create.
That's the one disadvantage
of water.
You can conjure it through piss, and that's about it.
I thought
like
I could
at high levels, you can like extract the moisture from like plants and shit, but that's like very advanced.
That's stupid. Never mind. I don't want to be that. I thought I could be in a dry ass room. I thought I could be in a dry ass room and just be like, like sending that shit. But no. Okay. I guess I'll be a airbender then, like Aang, because I'm just like him. That's what I want to be, I guess.
Good.
Because you can do whatever you want with that, because it's existing.
Honestly, I'm not sure what Bobby would be. I'll tell you what, though. When Bobby said, I thought I could just be in a dry-ass room, and then just whoosh, I just had this vision of Bobby in this all-wood room, and the moment that he said whoosh, he just pisses himself.
Just standing in this room. Guys, I'm a waterbender, and just fucking soaks his pants in the middle of a sauna.
Dog, why? Why?
Bro, the guys, I'm a waterbender.
Oh, what?
Boys, we should probably wrap her up soon. Do we have any what is there, we have anything they want to close with? We don't have to close it right away, but we can get some general comments.
Dreams, they're whack.
Oh, Jane told me that you had a dream where you... Let's talk about the boundaries between the conscious and the subconscious of dreams. Everybody.
Oh, my God.
So I think it was it might have been today or yesterday, that Jane, my girlfriend, and I were talking. Like, she said, like, yeah, she had a dream.
My girlfriend.
I got one of those guys. It's pretty cool.
that, like, she had a dream, and, like, it was a sweet dream with like, me and her. And then I had a dream where... I had a dream where we were making a turkey in my kitchen, and then I think I said something, maybe a joke, and then she just, like, stabs me with one of those, like, turkey thermometer things.
We've all wanted then, to, like, we've all wanted to. We got a and, thumbs and then, up from Bobby.
It continues. And then she, like, looks off, like, as if there was a camera, makes a really bad pun, and then a laugh track plays.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so then it just cuts to the fucking Joker scene where she's in the interview with Murray and she has the makeup on and she's like, I don't like you very much, Murray.
Yeah. So then she was like, what the hell? I have a sweet dream about you, and then my dream, I fucking stabbed you.
This is actually perfect because I had a dream last night.
Nice.
And I, actually, earlier today, because Spencer, your girlfriend, Amy, was in the dream, and I was talking to her about it, and we were both saying how we, like, I have never had a dream that has not been just batshit crazy. I've never had a dream where just normal things occur. It's never happened, and honestly, I don't think it ever will.
Nice.
In this... Oh, that... Yeah, that's you guys can go look at the previous episodes for that one, because that one's a wild ride. Anyway, so in this one, I was in Sal. I like broke into Sal. I don't know why. Well, like I
Sal
broke
is
into
our old high school.
Yes, I broke into Sal for like no reason, and I broke in through like the door that's by the cafeteria, and I'm just like walking, like through, and this is like during school, so I like. So, like, there are kids, like, around and stuff. So,
you,
I, like...
So, you walked in. You didn't break in.
No, I had to break in. The door was locked.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. And so, I, like, walk in, and, like, I walk down past the gym and out the back door. I didn't actually do anything in Sal. I'd, like, just walked through. And then...
Just the power trip of being like, yeah, I'm in this fucking building. I'm gonna leave now, though.
And so I leave, and then Spencer, our friend Joshua, the one with dreads.
Yeah.
Yeah, he runs up behind me, and he is like just rambling about how he has like this unresolved issue in his past, and he has to solve it. He has to go, like, he has to be able to see back in time to solve it. And so I'm like, Dream Ian knew exactly what to do. I was like, all right, follow me. And so I take him.
Ian went on a fucking quest.
Yeah. And so I take him to this room, and I recognize the room like from my like church. And so we go into this room, and the only thing in the room in my dream is this like wooden table. It's like a very small wooden table. And it has like a bunch of chemicals and like potions on it. And so I just like grab all these chemicals and like I just pour them on the floor. And I start like, there's like enough of them that like I'm just like mixing them on the floor. And so it's like I'm like knee deep in this potion, just like mixing up this potion.
Man's got mad fluids. If he just went up there and just pissed his pants, unleashing it, he's knee deep.
So I'm like mixing all these different chemicals, and I instruct Josh to like look into the chemicals as I'm like mixing them, because like mixing the chemicals is going to like show him his unresolved issues in his past and like how he can work to solve them. And I'm just like mixing it up, and I'm like, what are you seeing, Josh? And then Amy comes up, taps me on the shoulder, and said, what's going on, bro? And I'm like, you know, just like helping Josh, like we're gonna help him with some like unresolved issues in his past. Then I woke up. That was the whole thing.
Okay. Here's the scene in my head. So there's magic launching out of the ground. Ian looks like a wizard, eyes crazed, going, what do you see, Josh? What do you see? And then Amy's just like, what's up? And just immediately just cuts, there's like bright lights that just go to neutral. And it's just like, oh, hey, Amy, I'm just helping Josh. Yeah. We're good. And then that's end scene.
Spencer, that's beautiful. You're not far off.
All right, Bobby, what's up?
All right, I got two quick things, and if you're trying to wrap it up, then we can, but I just got two quick things I want to say. One, what room in the church was it?
It was the, you know, the one that's always had that old couch in it?
Bro, old couch room? Damn.
I think it's purple. Like, the walls are painted purple, I think.
Oh, the one downstairs where they do like, yeah. Sunday school. Yeah, okay, that room. Uh-huh. I know that room. Oh, holy shit, in that room. Wow, that's... Okay, and I just want to really quickly tell about a batshit dream that I have had. So, do you guys remember Psy from Duck Dynasty? Do you guys ever watch that show?
Yeah.
Was he the oldest one?
Yeah, he was that okay. Old, just like hillbilly, bro. They were all hillbillies. But anyways, so
you know one that time hillbilly I heard... from Duck Dynasty, probably.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this is like a really quick dream because I can't remember a whole lot of it. Basically, the gist of the dream was we were walking around my neighborhood in the middle of the night trying to escape a godlike cloud man version of Psy from Duck Dynasty, and he was just like. He was just like following us like in the clouds, and we were just trying, and it wasn't even like a frantic thing. We were just walking, trying to like get away from him, but he was like coming for us. And at one point we looked back up at him, and this is where it turned into a nightmare, because we looked back up at him and we just went like, "What do you want?" And he just started like, this is going to sound really funny, but in my
head. I want your honkers, Bobby.
No, this is going to sound really funny, but in my head, in the dream, it was the most terrifying thing of all time. We looked up at him and we were like, what do you want? And he just started like just rambling really quickly and like a hillbilly, like just straight up like that, but except it was like a really hillbilly accent, and he was saying nothing threatening, but it was like really loud. He was just like, "Oh, Jay, you would have been the alpha," and I woke up and I was like, "Oh, what? Oh my god!" Well, it was
man's is phobic of auctioneers.
He really almost started auctioning, and I woke up about to shit myself. I was like, I remember waking up and I had to go to the bathroom, and I was like, well, I can't do that now because that means I have to leave the room and he's gonna get me, so I can't be doing that. And like, yeah, no, that's been a dream that always just kind of stuck with me. It was wild.
Nice. Well, anybody else got any? I don't have any cool dreams. I don't think I've shared before. There was, I don't know, I'm just looking at my picture of sexy Joe Biden in the calendar that Ian got me, and it's very nice. Distracting.
Butler, what's another crazy point. Dream that you had?
Just like, Spencer, that's President Sexy Joe Biden.
Damn right. You know what I don't, what makes me really uncomfortable? On the news, now that he's president, now they call him fucking Joseph all the time. They're like, oh, Joseph they? Biden. Joseph R. Biden. Like, it's Joe. Just call him Joe. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. I don't care who's telling you how to do this. It's not him. He is Joe, goddammit.
Joseph.
I didn't vote for Joseph. Rig. I voted for Joe.
I would ain't love... vote for nobody.
I would love if, like, on the ballot, it said, like, Joseph Biden, and somebody's like, who the fuck is that? I'm looking for Joe. All the things just say Joe. I don't know who Joseph is.
Where is Joe?
A full, like, sweating panic.
He's like in like if it's one of those like curtain booths. You like swing the curtain, he closes it. He looks down. He's, where's Joe? Where's Joe? He's just like knocking shit over,
destroying the whole fucking polling center, just burning shit. Sets fire to the little fucking school gym that it's in. I can't find Joe.
Bro, I'm like,
that's all he says the whole time. He never clarifies, just where is Joe?
Who's
bro,
Joe?
How I'm imagining it is he goes in the booth and he looks down at it and he doesn't do anything, but it just like zooms in on his face and it's like a really intense like violin screech in the background. And it's just like anime lines beside his face and he's just like pouring sweat and he's just like like
who was that old director that like made, you know, like the there's that scene where there's like the chick in the shower and there's like the guy with the knife and it's the shadow, like Ed, like
Psycho,
Psycho, yeah, Psycho. Like it's exactly like the film Psycho, where it just gets more and more intense and the screen gets darker and it goes into this man's bloodshot eyes. Where is Joe? Well, I think if anybody wants to find out where you can find the podcast, it's on YouTube. If you just search It's Always Saturday, the Instagram, It's Always Saturday with underscores after every word. Is it just Always Saturday or is it It's Always Saturday?
It's Always Saturday with underscores. Also, don't forget to check out the meme page. It's Ooh. Always Saturday be memes.
We got meme Instagram now. We got, yeah, the YouTube. We got edited videos on there. Podcasts are still up everywhere. Butler, thank you very much for joining us. Bobby, you're a champion. You're Ian, you're okay. And I'm also here. So, thank you all very much for watching. Tell your friends. Tell your grandma. Have a good one. Later, skaters.